justification of life. If it's possible to be connected to the eternal Son of God, the results are life. Verse 19, for as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now these should help you, Eric, and you said you heard different things. Many were constituted sinners by whose disobedience?
By Adam's.
The little baby's a crack addict by whose disobedience? By the mother's. And so it's not what the baby did, it's who the baby was associated to. Now because of that, will the baby, if it grows up, be addicted to crack? Yeah. So it's also a sinner by practice. But then also, you look at verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience were many made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Our linkage with Christ makes us righteous by faith. On whose obedience? His. Not the obedience of you, by the obedience, it's what he did. You want to understand how this works? Just look at the negative. Look at Adam. How did you get to be a sinner? You say, well, what Adam did way back in the garden. You say, that don't seem fair. Well, how fair is it that you should be righteous because of what somebody else did? That's grace. And you are righteous not because of your obedience, because Christ obeyed and went to the cross and died for your sins. It's called the obedience of death, Philippians 2:8. It's not that this doesn't cause you to obey. We'll see God's government does cause you to obey, but it doesn't get you in this state by your obedience, just like Abraham. And then verse 20, moreover, the law entered. You say, well, why did the law enter if it can't get you to heaven? That the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God wanted to prove once and for all for his big plan, one of the big things coming up. He wanted to prove there's nothing in man. And if you think it's religion and the rules and all that, God will say once again, I've been there. We have done that. And it made mankind worse, as we'll see, not better. And so the only solution is my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is preparing these past ages for the age of people that he will choose to be born in this age. That we, if we by faith come to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't have to experiment with these others, that there's a solution in Christ alone. Now, do you have any closing comments on this session? We simply want to introduce to you why and how or why the dispensation of law, at least one of the main reasons, there's others, but one of the main reasons that started it. Yes, Fredo.
That's a year thing.
Yes, Fredo. Yes.
And that would have been before they even formed the bondage, right?
Yes.
So, how did you see 40?
I hear you, and I have to do some research. All right? Okay.
I have a question. To make sure I understood what you're saying, verse 6 of Romans 5. It says, where I put a law, sin wasn't in the world, but sin's not imputed, there's no law. I understand that man, you know, had sin, and that's why they died.
God couldn't put on their record they broke the law because there was no law to break. We already learned, though, they wouldn't be responsible because of conscience and creation. Yeah. Romans 2:1-2. But as far as God saying, now you're going to suffer more, a deeper punishment for this law breaking, he couldn't do that. They didn't break a law. But they died anyway, showing the problem was never the breakage of the law to begin with. Yeah, once, yeah. Now, by the way, there's one little mistake up there. Well, there might be more than one, but there's at least one. This 12:28 should read 1 through 8. Genesis 12, 1 through 8. And I think once we do research, this figure will be right, but we're probably dating the wrong starting and terminal point. But we'll have to do research on that. If there's nothing else, somebody could dismiss us in prayer before we dismiss for lunch. Then this afternoon, Mr. Price will be back for the final session on how to study the Bible. And then tonight, we'll get into the dispensation of law and eventually into what happened because of their disobedience, which gave us a whole prophetic picture of the future. Okay? I don't know how far we'll get tonight, though. mornings in our 9 to 12 sessions, the first two, or the first long one, will be teaching. Then the last one from 11 to 12 will be your test. It'll be your test 11 to 12 on Friday morning. Friday afternoon, we meet back here in this afternoon session for a review and also an evaluation of your test. And then the evening is taken up with festivities. So Friday will be taken up with the lessons until 11 o'clock, of which you'll have your test. The afternoon, a review of anything you might want run over, as well as an evaluation of your test, and the festivities in the evening. Tomorrow you'll have your last session on how to study the Bible in this afternoon session. I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 19, please. Exodus chapter 19. I might also mention the other day when we did that pluralism comparison of democracy and singular sovereignism of theocracy, many of you took notes, a few of you asked for copies, and someone made extra. There's six or seven here if you would want a copy of that outline, you help yourself. As we introduced in our closing session this morning, we got to that fifth administration of God's government, God's rule over his people, which will be called law. And we briefly introduced to you from Romans 5 God's purposes in bringing such a thing in. It wasn't to save. It never has been intended to save people. If people could learn that, if Christendom can learn that, it's not, and believe God, it's not to save, but it was to increase sin, to point and to highlight the grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now as we begin to look at it, you see over here on the board, there are three main things we want to consider as we study the administration of God's governing through law over his people. That is Israel. Number one, on which principle given? That is, in which principle is law given? Is it given on the principle of law or the principle of what? Promise. Also known later as the principle of grace. Also known later as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, but that comes later. And so we want to consider on which principle it was given. We also want to, in our study, find out what was given. With Adam, it was just one little command. But is that all it is with the law dispensation with Israel? What was given? And then we also want to consider how it was given. Did God just air melt down from heaven on the wings of an angel? What method did God choose to give his law, and why did he choose such a method? How was it given? And probably we'll progress no further in our session this afternoon than on which principle was it given. Now, I might remind you where we are in our study also. Remember, the children of Israel had been slaves in Egypt. God came in and kept his promise and delivered the people as a nation by the blood on the Passover, of blood on the door. And God says, you put that blood of that spotless lamb on the door, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel was coming through with the judgment of God, with death. And yet the firstborn would not die if on that door God did not see your good works, your attendance at synagogue, but if he saw the blood, he would pass over you. God would identify with that house, and the death angel would pass by because God was over it. He would never touch what God identified with. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now that is called redemption. When God's people were delivered out of Egypt by the blood and by the power of the Red Sea, the Bible word to deliver is the word redemption, paying the price to deliver, etc. So we're dealing with a people who have already been redeemed from the judgment of God. And now God comes along and says, would you like to be governed by law? He had promised that they would come into the promised land. And he said, would you like to be governed by law? You know what they said? Yeah. That's a lesson for you and I. There are Christians today who trust Jesus Christ and his blood, and then somebody talks them into being governed by law, and all kind of problems happen. But that'll come later in our study. So we're in Exodus chapter 19. And we're seeing on which principle, we're occupying our thoughts in this session, on which principle was it given. Verse 1 of Exodus 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel encamped before the mount. So they're in the mountain range of Sinai. They've been delivered out of Egypt. God's kept his promise to bring them out. And they're camping in the Mount Sinai range in the desert, in the wilderness. Verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord God called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Now God's going to make this covenant, this administration of rule, with a certain group of people. And obviously, who is it?
Israel.
It's not with the nations. It's that green element you see on the chart. It is not with the nations, it is with Israel. Never has been to the Gentile nations, though some have decided to take it. Verse 4. See, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. He said, you have seen my track record. I have delivered you from Egypt. It was like a flight. You on eagle's wings, you escaped the number one power of your day. Now, he says, verse 5. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. He says, you know what? Now, if you obey my covenant, I'm going to make you a special people, a treasure unto myself. All the earth is mine, but you're going to be above all people. You'll be, for lack of a better word, my favorite people, my chosen people, my blessed people. Well, look what he says in verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, that is, they would be representatives of God, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God promised to make them a nation, not just a group of people, but a nation, and as we have listed on the chart under Israel, one nation under God. They would be a unique theocracy, and where every other nation was ruled by kings and dictators, they would be ruled by the living God of heaven, because they would obey his commandments. They would be a true theocracy. Their constitution would not be something Thomas Jefferson signed, but would be what God designed. They would be a theocracy, not the rule of man, but the rule of God. One nation under God. I'll make you a holy, a separate nation. Well, Moses in verse 7, look what happens. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Okay, he said, now here's what God said. Here's God's side of it. He said that if you want to be a special people, if you want to be a holy nation, you have to keep and obey his voice. You've got to do what he says. And the people think a minute, if even a minute, and here's what they said in verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken will we do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And a contract or a covenant was being made between God and Israel. Now I want you to notice on what principle it was made. If you look at verse 5 carefully again. Now therefore if, and I would in your minds or in your Bible, if you do that, underline that word if or highlight it. If ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now this promise to bless them specially, this promise to make them above all people, this promise to make them a holy nation, a favorite nation, a chosen nation, a blessed nation, was conditioned on what? Or should I say, was it conditioned? It was conditioned. It was not that principle of promise where the person just says, I will do this. Our little example the other day, or this morning maybe, when we used Myra and Randy as an example, and they said, I will take you to Miami for your final dinner on Friday night. And you just shut up to their faithfulness. But if they said, if you pass every question on the test and say every verse perfect and never talk in the dining hall and lights are out at 10:30 without one eyelid moving, then we will do it. If you do that, well, you'd never see Miami, would you? You never see Miami. You see, it is now conditioned on your performance. That is the principle of law, a command. When the command is disobeyed, you don't get the results. It is the penalty of death. But the principle of promise we learned is promise. Believe equals righteousness or life. Well, that is not what he's asking them to do here, is believe per se. He's asking them to perform. And so it is given on what Adam had, the same thing, the principle of law. That Adam was could only stay in that garden and could enjoy those trees as long as he obeyed. But if he disobeyed the commandment, he would lose it all. And indeed he did disobey, and indeed he lost it all. And so we see that big if that will involve their works, their performance. If. But the people must have been in presumption, didn't realize their sinfulness at that point in their lives, and they say, that will be easy to do everything God says we'll do. And so they made a covenant with God. Now, I would like you to follow that if a little more. If you'd go, we'll be back here later, but if you go to Deuteronomy 27, please. And so as we update this principle law with Israel, we could word it this way with Israel. Commands disobeyed equals what so far? Well, just what we read in chapter 19, we haven't got that far yet. Commands disobeyed equals, well, not in chapter 19 as of yet. You're right, but we're jumping ahead. Commands disobeyed in chapter 19, he didn't speak of death yet. No, he didn't speak of judgment yet. They won't get the promise. Commands disobeyed equals loss of promises. Commands disobeyed equals loss of promises. Now, you're going to be right in death, but we want to show you how we get there. Because it involves this also. Commands disobeyed equals loss of promises. God doesn't have to keep them because they didn't keep their end of the bargain. But if they did, then of course they would gain such. Now, he makes that very clear to them in Deuteronomy chapter 27. Well, in the very technical sense, I see what you're saying. God promised, but that promise was conditional, so a good synonym would be privileges. Yeah, good. Thank you. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And you look at verse 1. Verse 1. There's a lot there, but now that I scan, I'd like to take you to 28 instead. Deuteronomy 28. And verse 1. And it shall come to pass, and what's the next word? If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. They said, we would like to be the chosen nation. We would like to be blessed. What's the condition? To obey all his words, all his commandments. If you do that, then I'll do this. Once again, the promise of privileges will be conditioned on their performance. So that the principle of the law, for you to get the privileges or the promises, you must obey. So command disobeyed will equal a loss of those blessings or privileges. Now look at verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Next word. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. They'll give you disarray in their attack. God will work miracles for you. They'll split seven different ways, and you'll win the battle. Verse 8. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou wilt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. Once again, it's conditioned on them keeping his commandments. Now notice carefully, so we don't get too confused here, what is God promising the Israelites under the dispensation of law? What kind of blessings? You're right. Oh, they are conditional, but what are they? What are the blessings? What's that? Material blessings in the land. That's why it's called a promised land. He is not promising them heaven. Do you know what the average Jew in the Bible, anyway, that's recorded, knew about heaven? Almost nothing. You never see them taken up with heaven. Because that wasn't their promise. I'm not saying they didn't know about it. The Bible doesn't record it, though. It's not their uppermost thought. What they were promised was a national people with a land, with a military that will win battles, with crops that will grow, with a society that will be blessed, where they can raise their children on the farm, the enemies won't have them, they'll have a nice society, a Christian society, we would say today, but a God-fearing society then. They were promised blessings in the land. Now, if you try to translate that into getting into heaven, you'll get all mixed up. God's not dealing with heaven here. He's dealing with blessings in the land and his rule in the land. And so this is what they were promised, blessings in the land. That is if they obeyed all the commandments. But what if they didn't? Well, you look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. He goes on to say, you'll lose wars, you'll end up back in Egypt, people will hate you, you'll be scattered among all nations. In fact, it came to pass. They have a plant today that describes what happened to the Jew. You know what they name it? Ever hear of the plant called the Wandering Jew? Anybody ever heard that? We have it up north, a few have. And I guess the leaves must wander all over the place, I don't know. But anyway, they will be scattered, they will be cursed, and their offspring will die, they'll be hated among all nations. You know of the Holocaust, where 6 million Jewish souls perished, and they've been persecuted down through time. You go to the end of chapter 28, and look at some of these cursings, and see if they haven't been fulfilled in history. Look at verse 63. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. There thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, a failing eyes, and sorrow of mind. You'll be scattered. You'll be forced to serve other religions. You know, Jews by the Christendom church in the Dark Ages were forced to join, quote, Christianity, and they were killed if they didn't. That's happened in many countries. Look at verse 66. Did we read 65?
Yeah.
Verse 66, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again, with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen or slaves, and bond women, and no man shall buy you. Now, if you don't obey all these, you're going to be cursed. So now, our formula progresses again. The principle of law, command disobeyed equals cursing. Command disobeyed equals cursing. Command disobeyed equals loss of blessing or privileges. But also, command disobeyed equals cursing. And then you progress to Ezekiel chapter 18, please. Ezekiel chapter 18. The prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 18. Israel, throughout its time, began to go from the law. God would send his prophets in warning to try to stir their hearts back to repentance. One of those prophets was called Ezekiel. And Ezekiel comes on and preaches law to them because they were under law. They were under God's rule by rules and commandments and so on, which we'll have more to say about later. But I want you to see Ezekiel's message. Somebody read verse 4 of Ezekiel 18, please. It shall die. The soul that sinneth, he says, it shall die. Now, but you say, I don't want to die. I'd like to be right before God. I certainly don't want to be separated from God. What shall I do? Well, he says, here's what you do. Verse 5. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, that would have to do with a feast to idols and that, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, hath covered the naked with a garment, he hath not given forth upon usury, that is, charged his own people interest for money loaned, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord. You got to keep all my laws, that's the deal, and you'll live. And then look what could happen. Look what was possible to happen. If you go down to verse 24, verse 24 of Ezekiel 18. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Say, for years you just kept the law to the best of your ability. And then as you got older, you said, man, I want to have some fun before. I want to live it up. I'm tired of living this way. And you start to throw these commandments over, and you start to live it up. God says, you know what? All that righteousness you did, none of it will be mentioned. It doesn't count on your record. In the sin that you have sinned, you shall die. Because now we're back to the Adamic principle. Command disobeyed equals death. It always does. It would equal the loss of physical blessings. It would equal the cursings, physical cursings. And it would result, as it always does, in separation from God. So the command disobeyed equals death. And it doesn't matter if you were great for 30 years and then you fell into sins. God says, I forget it. It's not even mentioned. Doesn't count those 30 years. In that sin you shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. For the principle of law always is command. Yeah, that's a question. Command, disobeyed, equals death because God is holy. You see also in the law, like he did with Abel and so on, God did provide the provision of sacrifice. And the provision of sacrifice was the what of an animal? Yeah, which is the what of an animal? The life, which when he sheds the blood, it's the what of the animal? The death. And so that death would count as a temporary substitute. That's why every Jew didn't die the first time he sinned, but he would have to meet the demands of that law and bring the price of death in a victim called a spotless lamb or something, or an ox or whatever God prescribed. And so death had to be met. And so the law was upheld to some degree. Command disobeyed equals death. And they could bring the animal for some sins as a substitute. Others, there was no sacrifice. And so this is the principle of law that answers our first question. On which principle was it given? It was given on the same principle that Adam had. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. It was conditional. They would have to keep the commandments and they'll be physically blessed. They would lose the blessings if they didn't. They would get the cursings if they didn't. And spiritually, they would end up dying. Now that is the principle of law. Do you think that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know how many people think it is? Man, I'm a Christian. I lived for years. And I blew it. I fell into sin. And guess what? I lost my salvation. You can turn on most of the Christian TV. I'll be with you in a second. You can turn on most of the Christian TV, and that's the message you're going to hear. You can go into many, quote, Christian churches, and that's the message you're going to hear. They have brought God's people out of grace back into the principle of law to try to get the people to live holy. And many people accept it, and they feel guilty. They feel separated from God. They don't even know if they're saved. This is the dispensation of law, and that's how it works. And so we covered our first point, and I saw some hands, and yes.
Mm-hmm.
Will I repeat what? Yes. Okay, the principle of law that we learned way back in the Garden of Eden is command disobeyed equals death. Remember, in the day you eat thereof, that was the command, you shall surely die. Now, when we got to the whole nation of Israel, it had three aspects to it, the principle of law. The first one we discovered was command disobeyed equals loss of privileges or blessings. That was the one we learned in Exodus 19, that if you do these things, you'll get them. But, of course, if you don't do these things, you'll lose those blessings. Those blessings aren't guaranteed only if you obey. Remember our little dinner example? Okay. The second aspect was command disobeyed equals cursing. And the final aspect in Ezekiel 18 was command disobeyed equals death. So in every case, to disobey the law equals the penalty, doesn't it? In every case, it is conditioned on your performance. Yes, Eric.
Does it in every single case apply to the nation as a whole, or does it get smaller as it goes down?
I understand it, yet I don't understand your question.
You don't understand?
Not fully.
Because at the end it says, you know, the soul of sinners shall die.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you mean.
Individual, but then, you know, the first one, of course, is
There is a national aspect to these promises that the nation as a whole would be blessed. The nation as a whole would be cursed. There is also, as you got the Ezekiel 18, the individual aspect. And that's a very good point you brought out. Absolutely. Anybody else? Before we dismiss...
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Nationally, that means the majority was wrong. God cursed them. There could be that. What's the biblical word? Starts with an R.
Remnant.
A remnant that's still faithful, and there has been and still is. Yeah. That we want to think national in one sense. Now, I'm just going to jump you ahead before we dismiss to show you a verse that should send thrills through your spine or wherever it happens. Go to Romans chapter 6 for a minute. This is written to the church age, the believers. Romans chapter 6. And when we all get there, I would like somebody to read verse 14. Nice and loud, please, Romans 6, 14. You are not under law, but under grace. And that's enough to make you say hallelujah if you understand law. You are not under law, but under grace. We've yet to determine exactly what grace is, but I want to tell you, it is not law. It is not law. And so we begin to establish in this dispensation of law of when it was given, on what principle was it given. Now, Lord willing, in tonight's session, we also want to look at what was given and how it was given. And then eventually we'll see, because it was broken, God gave some tremendous prophecies of the solution. And we'll get into that either late tonight or tomorrow morning. But that'll be enough for our first session, our session this afternoon, unless there's a closing comment. Well, then, if somebody would dismiss us in prayer, please.